Welcome to the Talk Over podcast, a conversational platform for the DJs, by the DJs, brought to you by Double and Stylus.
Swag.
Tune in every week to hear us talk about all the things we see, hear and experience as DJs. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel by simply searching Talk Over podcast on either Spotify or Apple Music.
We need to figure out a way to like not do an intro now and just be like, yeah, sweet. Yeah,
there you go. That's your intro. That's what I'm going to use. We're going to use that as the start of the clart today. the start of the clart.
The start of the clarticus.
We're in. The clart has begun.
We are inside the clart.
I know 100% what I do not want to talk about today.
Go on.
Bruv,
needing a shit in the DJ booth.
yesterday I woke up, opened up the Twitter. It wasn't the first thing I did, obviously, but when I opened up the PodClart Twitter to send something, there's like 20 plus notifications, and I'm thinking, there's never that many. Do you know what I mean? The Twitter's quite young still for our account. So there's usually like 8 or 9. It says 20 plus. I'm thinking, shit, what's happened? Like,
someone sent for us?
Someone's caught onto something that we've said and it's gone viral. Fuck, what are we going to do? I need to pull the Twitter up because I can't remember who actually posted
it was DJC.
DJC. Yeah,
DJC even DJC was the... in fact, the conversation... Bro, it goes... It goes on for time.
Bruv, everyone's got involved. Even though I've said, right, that I don't want to talk about it, and now somehow we're talking about it. But yeah, DJ CB, I think it says, yeah, CB, started basically talking about taking a shit in the club, and everyone's jumped on board and put their 2 cents in. Some people take baby wipes. Some people wear nappies. Right.
Bruv, check this, yeah? This guy, he put it on me.
Yeah, because you're always talking about it, bruv. You're always talking about taking
this shit.
He put it
on me first. Where's the original tweet?
It's because you're the original bomb dropper when it comes to the clubs, bruv. You spoke about it here on the podcast. You said,
bruv, do you know what? Yeah, listen, if man has to go, innit? Like, what can you do?
I've got control over my body.
Standing there in the booth and getting full on bubble gut in the booth.
bubble gut.
You get me, the remix. The guy, he put DJ, serious question. If you need a shit,
how can you say that's a serious question?
Get me, Mandus put it on me fully. Join a set that's 4 or 5 hours long. What the hell do you do? We all know Stylus has been through this from the Talkover pod. Am I exactly known as the serial shitter?
Yeah,
something?
Basically, you're the guy that just doppies.
Bro, do you know what, yeah? I'm gonna own it, fam. I don't care, bruv. It's normal. Out here acting shocked because they need a poo poo.
No, but mate, you know what? Most of the clubs that I play in don't have staff toilets, or I don't even know if they have staff toilets or not. But I'm not taking a crap in the toilets that have been absolutely massacred for the last 5 hours, or even if it's 2 hours.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
What?
The public ones are a bit peak. Yeah, public ones are a bit peak. You need to be in a venue where you've got the link.
Yeah.
So you can get the disabled toilet code or a little staff toilet thing, or yeah, you can't go and shit in the main box.
This can't be the topic for today. So that's yeah.
No. Someone said someone tweeted something that made me laugh, and they were like, if you go to a venue where you don't know the logistical layout, it's a bit peak. You know, like if you work at a venue and you know people, like you can style it and go and find the toilet, but if you're at a new venue, then it happens. Fuck it. Yo, your head just runs off on itself, mate.
Yeah.
It's a bit peak.
Yeah,
it's a bit peak.
It is tricky. It is tricky. Oh, bro,
we can't stop it. Fusion put. You should always pee before work, man. I can confirm that Stylus is a serial club shitter.
Fuck's sake.
Used to always stink out the club before opening. That's a lie, fam. It's a fucking lie, mate.
It's got to stop.
Oh, my days.
No more poo talk.
Yeah, all right, safe. So, anyway, you was doing an interesting booking last night.
Bruv, so
guy sent me a video at like 3 a.m. Hey!
Mate, you know what? Yesterday was one of the most fun bookings that I've ever done. Now, I've got to be a little bit vague because actually I had to sign a non-disclosure that I wouldn't speak about the event. It's really
that means you can tell us everything now.
It's really strange. Jeez. So I can't actually tell you like proper details or anything, like super details, but I can give you the outline. Now, what I want to just start by saying, yeah, not in a braggy way, but I want to make a point by saying this. This has been my highest paid DJ job in my career.
I'll lend you a fiver, don't worry.
So I'm going somewhere with this. So it's not just that I'm not just putting it out there, but this has been the highest paid DJ job I have ever done in my career. But at the same time, not a single part of it has gone on social media. So okay. Like, I just want to put that connection out to people. Like I made money yesterday, bruv. Like, do you know what I mean? But I'm not posting about it on Instagram, mainly because I can't. It was a sick event, and if I could, I'd put the content that I had out there. Do you know what I mean? But because okay. it looked like the production behind it or everything was really good. So what I can tell you is it was an award show, and it was 90s hip hop theme, even down to like the dress code. So I had to go 90s hip hop. But the brief I was given was...
Dress like you're from 90s hip hop anyway.
Yeah, bro, you laugh, yeah, but when I was sorting my outfit
real?
Out, when I was sorting my outfit out, I was looking in my wardrobe like, shit, I could wear that, I could wear
you're
that,
actually,
I could
you're
wear
actually
that,
good
I could
to go, fam. You didn't even have to have a dig.
Exactly. The only thing sick. I had to switch up was my trousers, because my trousers aren't as baggy as they were when I was in the 90s. But yeah, bunch of my clothes, yeah, I was looking at them like, shit, I need to update my wardrobe, bruv, because I could wear most of this stuff to a 90s themed party, and I wear it now. But
this guy, I seen the video, and I was like, this guy's just blending. It's blending. No, you didn't send me a video, I'll take that back.
No, I can send it privately, I just can't put it out publicly on social media. So,
So how long was the set, man? How long did this thing go on for?
So there was a pre-party that I did, that was an hour and a half, and then... an hour into it, some break dancers, like, but proper B-boys. Bruh, these guys were sick. Like, some mad skills. Then there was the award show. And then after the award show, so the award show was like an hour, but it wasn't a DJ set. It was just triggering the music for people walking up. So when it says, and the winner is, and then they say that person's name, I have to play a song for them to walk up to, so I had to make sure it was a different song each time and just like bangers basically, but not obvious bangers. Like I'm drawing for like Biggie, Kicking the Door, or like Public Enemy, Fight the Power, or do you know what I mean?
Oh,
just
for
like,
real?
Bro,
oh,
this,
that is
no,
dope.
This is what I'm telling you, man. Like it was the most enjoyable because the brief was 80s and 90s hip hop, nothing else. Like, and they were literally like, do not play anything except 80s and 90s hip hop. And the head of the company is really into that stuff anyway. So like in the months that this has been being planned for months and months, bruv. I mean, you know, me and you have spoken about it on the phone anyway, but it's been being planned for months, and our coordination, the guy is saying, yeah, make sure like, don't just do the obvious, like really, really bait stuff. Like, make sure you dig. Like, this is we're going in basically with the theme. And okay. Mate, it was amazing, man. They had,
I'm jealous, man. We don't get bookings like that up here, bro.
Bro, and this is what I'm saying, man. Dead. It was one of the most fun. And the difference is, like, for the after party, was a bit weird because it was a big like corporate thing, and so it wasn't like people whiling out, and it wasn't like mosh pits and stuff and dancing. It was obviously everyone's there to like network and talk and stuff like that. So it wasn't, the after party wasn't like some big crazy party where everyone's going absolutely sick. But at the same time, I got to play whatever I wanted from 90s, 80s and 90s hip hop. So like,
man had the full freedom,
bruv,
of the decades.
Anything. The only rule was make sure they're clean edits. And obviously from my time on radio, especially when I used to do Bang Radio and they had Old School Friday, which was a thing on Bang Radio, I had the catalogue. It wasn't work, bro. There was a point in me, yeah, I don't know if anyone else ever feels this when they're doing their job, but I was just stood there like, one day they're going to figure out that they're paying me to do this. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, someone's actually paying me to do this shit. Like, are you... When are they going to realise? Like, do you know what I mean? It's weird, bruv. But the point I was making with all of it is everyone's so caught up in watching other people, and you know the DJs that love to post like a festival photo or like put their snap when they've got like a massive crowd and stuff like this, but like they get very caught up in having to show their success on social media.
Yep.
Like the point I'm making with this is financially, bro, this has been the most successful job of my career. And
okay, and it was low key.
No one knows. I mean, obviously the people listening to the podcast do, but anyone on my social media, you would have, if you look at my social media now for what I did yesterday, you'd think I had a day off. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's better sometimes, bro. Like you just say, you don't need to champion everything on social media. Like I've done one or two corporate bits before where the same way, you don't even post about it. And like you say, these kind of bookings always pay the most. But
bruv, it's mental.
You don't really need to shout from the rooftops about it. We don't really get too many of them bookings up here, but I did one not long ago that Martin Too Smooth plugged me into.
The plug himself. Big ups to Martin. Man. Actually, yeah, sorry to cut you, but yeah, big ups to Martin Too Smooth, you know, because when this job landed, I actually reached out to him for some advice because I knew that he is big, like he does a lot of corporate events and stuff. So I actually reached out to him for kind of, because I deal with club managers and stuff, do you know what I mean? And they're easy to talk to. That's a WhatsApp conversation. But
yeah, it's a bit different when you deal with these corporate clients, innit? You got to approach it in an
email chain with fucking directors and like production companies and shit. So I actually reached out to Martin for help and advice on kind of how to tackle it, how to negotiate and make sure I was getting my work. So yeah, big ups to Martin, but carry on. Martin put you on as well. Martin Leblanc.
He put me onto a corporate thing up here, which was for it was for the 6-day cycle, so it's a giant like velodrome cyclist event.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the same thing. You were literally in the middle of the arena playing like songs during the races, and then there was like a show segment that was like broadcast on like Eurosport, and the camera's up in your face and everything's timed, and you've got a talk back in the booth where you're talking up to the people up in the stands that are controlling the lights, and everything's triggered to the second, bro.
Yeah.
To the second. I remember I missed like 1 second on the drop, and I got shouted at, and that was when I was like, right, this is not a joke, fam. This is like serious. And like, again, with that, like I think I posted one or two little tiny snippets on my Insta story just to let people know where I was at. But again, I think with them jobs, you're more focusing on the job at hand.
Oh, bro,
Than be, like in a club, you can be in the vibe and be in the moment and post little videos and pictures and vibe it. But with these ones, it takes on a different like mantle. Like you got to, I think you just have to approach them kind of gigs with a different mentality.
Serious business for these people. Do you know what I mean? Like
business.
There was a lot of very, very wealthy people in the room yesterday. Do you know what I mean? It was a very prestigious award show, and it was just the type of people. So the production level, and I'm talking like the award show, I don't know the price, but you know when they do these award shows, people have to buy tables and stuff to go. Like I'm under the impression that it was like very high cost. It's a very, very high end award show. Like, so for the production to be in any way shabby would not be acceptable. Do you know what I mean? So exactly the same.
So
I had
gone in on the budget, the lighting,
mate,
the rig,
I've never been involved in something with such high production. And I've been involved in festivals and stuff before. Do you know what I mean? Like I've done festivals and that before, and even they didn't have this level of production. But like you say, like I had an earpiece. This was the maddest thing because I've never worked in
Did you have to edit the little earpiece in that?
No, it was actually a big one. It was like a big cup with a microphone because I had to communicate back. But even the maddest thing, bro. So imagine an award show, and on stage, you know, where the people come up and get their award and that, and they go up to the lectern and give their speeches and stuff. I'm on the stage as well. So with a big DJ setup. So I've got like, there was over 1,000 people in the room for this awards thing. And I'm on the stage as well. So I've got to communicate back with the guy who's heading up the whole production. But then in my ear, I'm trying to cue up the next song. Listen to the guy who's announcing he's announcing the winners and the nominees and the people giving away the awards and stuff. And at the same time, in my right ear, I've got the head of production's voice going, cue lectern lights, right, camera one on, camera two off, camera three, pan round to the left.
Were you catching all that as well?
Bro, the whole radio chat is in my ear. And then I hear him And then, like, obviously, they're just using my real name. So they're like, Lewis, stand by. Da-da-da. And then he's like, right, Lewis, go. Boom. And that's when I have to play the track when they've just announced it. Bruv, it was mad. But
that sounds the same as what we dealt with.
So the talkback
wasn't the whole chat. We didn't get the whole chatter of the whole production.
Right.
It was just a direct link between me and like the bass in the stands.
Yeah, but there was,
but again, they were counting it in, bruv, and they were like, 3, 2, 1, and you in, boom, yeah. And bruv, yeah, it's actually sick, man.
I really enjoyed it, man. Like, I properly enjoyed it. I would do another one of those jobs like tomorrow if it was available. Like, I really enjoyed it.
Do you think the fact that me and you have done broadcasting before and know how to work to a timed, strict schedule helps in regards to like these kind of events?
That's a really good question, actually. That's a really good point.
I feel like it does, because I think if I went in there blind and had never done anything like that before, like especially when you do like the top level radio, like your One Extras and whatever else, it's a bit different on Community because you can kind of control the length of your links and jump in and out of the links as and when you want, unless you're like hitting advert breaks, but with like proper radio. So
did
I mean, it's got to be more concise.
Did you ever do a live show on One Extra? Or was it all pre-rec?
Yeah, man, I did the first one, I did pre-rec, but then that Amy, she was just like, look, we feel like you can do them live, man.
Yeah, Amy Bennett. I love Amy Bennett.
Yeah, yeah, big up Amy, man. She helped me out with so much stuff on there. But yeah, I did a couple lives and that. And then me and you done, did me and you, was that live that me and you done?
I can't remember. I don't feel like it was, because I feel, looking back on when we did that show, I feel like I was very relaxed, and I don't think I would have been, because that was the first time we ever did a broadcast together, other than like we did a quick thing on Bang, but that was the first time we ever co-hosted a radio show together, and I feel like I would have been more on edge if it was live.
I think it was
a prereq. But yeah, I mean, that... Yeah, going back to your point, I didn't think about that, but actually I think that's a really good point. The fact that I've done live shows on One Extra, and obviously I've done a stack on Community Radio as well, but the most pressure I've ever been under in a radio scenario was going live for the first time on One Extra. And yeah, so I think having that experience probably kind of just...
Definitely helps.
It's become a second... I wasn't nervous yesterday. Like, it was just a thing. We did a show rehearsal first. The only thing that I was wary about is this entire show relied on my Serato.
Oh, bro.
So that was the only thing. But I mean, touch wood, I've not had problems with Serato for ages. And I actually gave the head of production, I gave him all of the music as a backup and said, in case our connection gets severed in any way, you've got all the stingers for the walk-ups. Like, everything's there. So he had a backup to fall up on if I couldn't put it out. That was the only thing. Sick. But that, after we did the show rehearsal, that just kind of became an afterthought, really. It was like just in the back of my head. It wasn't even in the back of my head. It wasn't present. I was just there for the show, making sure all the timings were right. I wasn't nervous at all, bruv. And
Come on, bruv. You ain't nervous.
No, I think, you know, but you know what it was as well?
You like, got this, son.
Yeah, but I feel like because it was the music that it was... Bruv, that's my world. Like,
yo, see with the cleans, like with some of them hip hop records, like, you know what it's like, especially when you get like American cleans where different words slide. Because I've played American cleans before.
Yeah,
fuck,
they're terrible.
Bitch, fuck. Like, oh, yo,
yeah.
Stop the record.
No, I've got a system actually from obviously where I used to do the old school shows on radio. So you know on Serato, you can change the color tab down the left hand side. So if it's clean. If the colour tab is marked blue, that means I've listened to the record from start to finish and I know without fail there's no swear words. So it's certified.
Sick. You're organised, man.
Oh, you have to be, bruv, because when I was doing the radio stuff, you know, like it's one of them things, especially like on Community Radio, because I was programming for them for a little while as well. If you let that music slip out, you can get a massive fine. Like the station can end up with a huge fine. So it was like you had to be really vigilant. But at the same time, I did a music trade-off with the station at one point. So I gave them loads of old school music. And in return, I took the old school library. So we basically... So basically, I have a huge library of old school music. Not just hip-hop, like old school ragga, R&B, garage, the lot. That is definitely 100% clean. So yeah, I wasn't nervous about that. But it was... what an amazing show. I mean, I text you last night, innit? I was like, bruv, we have to speak about this on the podcast. And I, reflecting now, I feel like it was coming out of that, it was the adrenaline. I was like proper gassed about how sick the whole event was. So like,
you look like you're sweating your back out on that video, bro. Them stage lights are intense.
You know what? I wasn't sweaty, but I just looked shiny because the stage lights were right above my
I'm
head.
I'm just looking at the video now. In fact, your exact words were, "We must clart about this tomorrow."
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah, we must clart about this. But yeah, it was...
That's dope, man. Well, I'm glad it went well for you, my G.
It was really good, bro. Really good.
Many more on the horizon, hopefully. Well,
maybe, we'll see. I mean, it was every year they do a different theme. So I don't, like last year they did the Beatles. This year was 90s hip hop. So I don't expect for
last
next
year.
Last year
they did the Beatles.
Last year they did the Beatles and they had, you know.
That's a flip.
Yeah, you know, there's a Beatles tribute band that's like really famous. The Bootleg Beatles, that's what
they're
called.
No idea.
They're called the Bootleg Beatles. They're called the Bootleg Beatles. That's actually what they're called. And yeah, they're like the most famous Beatles tribute brand. They had them last year for this Beatles. So I don't know if I would do this event again next year because they probably won't have it as hip hop. But yeah, I mean, the whole point I was actually going to make about it is like, it's not just about how sick everything is on social media. I feel like a lot of, especially the younger DJs, feel the pressure to post. I have to post this, like, I'm doing this, I've got to show everyone that I'm doing this, da, 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 da. And it's like, calm, bro. Don't rush to just prove everything to everyone. Like, just secure the bag and just make sure that you're cool, innit? Like,
I think it's just easy to get caught in the rat race, man. Like,
oh, definitely.
There's so many people are coming through now at the same time, and everyone's out here trying to get bookings and scrapping. Like, everyone's just trying to. It's hard, bro. It's hard. Yeah. I used to do that shit all the time, man. And then eventually, you just sit back and look at it from another angle, and you realize, like,
I wonder if there's just like, I'm at a point. Yeah, I reached a point probably a couple years ago where I was like, I was at a point where I would post something, and my Instagram, everyone knows my Instagram's not the most popping. I get good engagement, but it's not like, nothing really goes like super viral or anything like that. And I've got like an all right amount of followers, but I used to really strive, like, I have to get this amount of likes, like I really need to, da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And then a couple of years ago, I got to a point where I'm just like, I don't give a fuck. Like, if you mess with me and if you engage with my content, then that's cool. That means like, you're engaging with me, thank you. Do you know what I mean? If you don't, I don't care. Like, it's so liberating as well, bruv, when you get to that mind state where
I agree.
And
I agree.
Actually,
liberating's the word.
Yeah, because what I realized was there's no pressure. Instagram is the marketing tool, so I can actually focus all my energy in other places now. Do you know what I mean? So it's not like, right, I have to get this on Instagram. Like, I don't make money from Instagram. Getting 500 likes, I don't get £500. So like, why am I really trying to push to get that many likes when I should just post it up like a highlight reel? Cool, this is what I'm doing. This is, go and click this if you feel like it. And then focus on the things that actually make me money. Do you know what I mean? Like, or not even just from a money aspect, but focus on things that progress my brand and help me make moves. Do you know what I mean? Like, look at some of the most successful people in music, bruv. Jay-Z doesn't have Instagram. And I know that's a huge leap going from my success to Jay-Z's success, but it's just an example. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think, yeah, because the super duper duper stars that are out of reach, like, they don't need it, man. Like, no. Beyonce has one, but she definitely ain't using that herself.
That's not her. That's like,
no, that's not her.
That's a team.
It's an official account, but it's not run by her.
No, of course. It's a team, isn't it? So it's like,
some people are just out of reach. But and to be fair, bruv, it's about to flip anyway because the likes on Instagram are gone. Or like, it's been rolled out right now. So it's going to be interesting to see. You're not going to see anybody's likes.
No,
you're going to see your own, but it's going to become irrelevant on the timeline. One of my friends in Manny's already had it done to his.
Yeah.
And literally, you scroll through the pictures and
it just, no, everyone's, just, anyone, if I go on anyone's now, it just says liked by, and then if there's a mutual friend, so it'll say
it
like,
done it on yours?
Yeah, so it would say like, liked by DJ Stylus and others, or if it's a really popular one, like I think I saw one of DMO's posts the other day, it said, And same with Maya Jammer, actually. It said liked by, and then someone that I was mutual friends with, and thousands of others. So if it's a popular one,
mine's
it says
not gone. Mine's still there, mine's still there, you know.
Really? What, you're still seeing numbers? Maybe.
I'm still seeing numbers.
Mine just, maybe you need to update your Insta. So, anyway. But yeah, it's done. So, I mean, I feel like that's the only difference. Yeah, I just pulled it up now. Dappy's got one. And it says liked by someone that I'm friends with who follows Dappy and thousands of others. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start an Instagram account called Thousands of Others, and then I'm going to charge people for likes, because then I'll like your picture and it just say liked
this
by
this guy,
liked by thousands of others,
this guy,
and I'll charge £1 a like.
Them tactical maneuvers there.
Yeah, I'm going to see if anyone's actually done that yet.
Yo, I'll tell you where I've had a good night out this week, actually.
Yeah, go on.
The Red Bull Freestyle came to Manny, you know.
Oh shit, I meant to start the pod, Clark, by saying congratulations.
No, it's cool, I'm gonna say it now. Fuck
go on,
you.
Sorry, go on. Yeah,
you started off by talking about having a shit in the club, bro.
Ah, someone's already done it, you know. Someone's already got thousands of others as an Instagram account.
Oh yeah, of course, man, bro. These online geeks, mate, on it.
I will like your posts so it looks like thousands of people liked your post because I'm awesome. Oh wow. Anyway, sorry. Go back to the Red Bull Freestyle. So yeah, let's talk about.
Yeah, the Red Bull Freestyle was in Manny on Thursday, just gone.
Yeah.
Which in itself is fucking dope because we just don't really get stuff like that here, like especially for the freestyle to come up to Manny. Like I think that's really cool. It's cool, man. Like, I've been plugged into it. I always watch the YouTube bits and like DJs that I've entered that have been on like my Instagram and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, as soon as I seen that it was in town and the DJ City guys were all going to be there, and obviously the homie D James was entering. So yeah, went down, checked it out, and like a load of the Manny DJs were there. DJs from all over the country had made the trip. It was sick, bro. It was like a little mini DJ link up, but with the Red Bull Freestyle happening at the same time.
That's sick. That's proper sick.
So it was sick. Espinoza flew over from LA.
I don't know who that
and
is.
He won it last year.
Oh, okay, right.
Bruv, listen, let me tell you now, yeah. I left that place just feeling like a shit DJ. The levels, brother. Espinoza did like the preset before the round started. And basically what it is with Red Bull Freestyle, for people that have not done it before, you get 15 minutes to just do an open format, like, creative set. So it's not all based on your scratching ability.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of it is selection, creativity, and all that stuff. So, you know, if you're not the best... Like, D James, he said it himself. He's like, look, I'm not the sick, most technical scratch guy, but his set was mad.
His set was mad.
So, yeah, D James actually won... the UK leg, so he'll be going to
Russia.
Yeah, finals in Russia next. I can't remember when it was.
April, I think he said.
April or May or something like that. But just in general, I thought it was sick. Like Crossfader came through. That's a local company in Leeds. That like they post out like DJ content, tutorials, etc. They came through. I had a chat with them guys, and yeah, just everybody above it. It was just a good look. Like, the standard and the levels of the sets were very, very high. D James stole the show. The guy had, like, dub plates of Limb by Limb and all that, bro.
Bro, D James is a dark horse, you know. Like,
he's not messing about. He was playing it down before, Andy phoned me before. Yeah. Before the thing started. And I was like, nah, I know you've cooked something up. I know you're not going out like that.
I feel like he's a very good example of what I was saying earlier about when you're making moves, not everything has to be on social media. Because D James, when I see him in person, which occasionally happens, we'll bump into each other like at certain things in London and that. And I mean, obviously, I'm not going to talk his business. He can do it when he comes on the podcast. But like some of the things he's involved in and what... No. What I mean, it's good stuff. But some of the things he's involved in and what he does in the music scene, I don't really see him like proper shouting about. But, bro, he's making moves. And like, he's a really good example of someone like he's securing the bag for himself, but he's not out there shouting and screaming and hollering about it. And, like, I think that's a very good example of someone who's, yeah, doing it the right way, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, he does. He moves in silence. He's doing his thing, man. Like you say, to come out and win that on that's his first attempt, bruv.
That's sick.
Like, he's never done freestyle before.
Like Q-Ball, the Newcastle guys came down, play was there, like a load of the London kids made the trip up, all the Manny guys passed through.
Sick.
Like, it was sick, man. It was very, very sick. I've done a vlog, so I'll post a vlog up this week at some point.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to watch it,
I'd like to see that.
Go check out my YouTube.
D James did say he was going to post his set online. I'm interested to see what he did.
It's up. Only, it's up.
It's up already. Sick. I'll find
it. Yeah, he posted it yesterday.
Nice. I didn't see that. My only experience of the three style is there's two different types, actually. There's one where I've seen one where it's just like super technical. Only DJs will really understand what's going on. And the person was really, really skilled and it was amazing, but put him in a club set and it wouldn't have worked. And then the other one was DJ Puffy. And Puffy stood out to me because he was the first really, like, he wasn't super, super technical. And then when he's in like entering a DJ battle.
Yeah.
But what he did was impressive for DJs, but also would rock a club. I feel like he's a good example of a DJ that's found that balance. You know, there's always been that conversation of, yeah, you've got 100. These super, super technical DJs like JFB and that, but can they really rock a club now? Or is it just a DJ's DJ?
I think Puffy was one of the first to break that, you know, and bridge the gap.
Yeah. I know there was a lot of noise, when Puffy won, because a lot of really technical DJs were like, well, yeah, but he can't do this and he can't do that. And I'm like, nah,
you've got to find
the balance.
Definitely,
man.
Split.
Like,
mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I feel like that is those kind of competitions. The balance is starting to come in now.
That's the good thing about Red Bull, bro, because it's wide open like that. Like you go to the DMCs and you're judged on raw technical ability, like you man will be scratching upside down headstand with the nostril,
yeah,
like doing some crazy stuff. Whereas, like, I feel like D James semi went down that same vibe. He was trying to cross over with the technical and the entertainment, and then the club like vibe within it. Do you know what I mean?
Would it have worked if he did it in a club now today? If he did it in a club, would it work?
Do you know what? Probably would. You know. Probably would, you know. There was a little bit where he was doing a loop of Big Nasty off the Craig David record, and he was loving it, old school anthem, you know that?
Yeah,
he had it on a loop, and then every bar he'd drop an old school garage record.
Oh, sick. And he's just loving it,
old school anthem, next tune. Loving it, old school anthem, next tune, like all the garage classics.
Sick.
Yeah, he smacked it, bro. But yeah, check it out. And
I want to listen to that, definitely.
And let me know your thoughts. But yeah, pretty dope night. Russia, we're gonna have to go, you know.
Yeah, I'll put it in the WhatsApp group, innit? So, and quite a few, you were one of them, like quite a few people hit back were like, yeah, let's do it. So I'm on it, man. Yeah, Flights from London are like 100 quid to Moscow. So yeah, I'm definitely up for going to that.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be flying from London somehow, but you know. What's for Manny, it'll be like 4 ton.
Yeah, oh mate, yeah,
right. We get scammed up here, bruv.
Mad.
Sick. Well, that's all I've done this week. I've not done anything else. Oh. That was okay. I got drunk. You know what happens when you put a load of DJs in the same building like that? You know, bruv, what happens, bruv?
Yes, I know what happens. Thank you very much.
The alcohol comes out.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get double to come down for New Year's Eve again.
I think it's going to happen, bruv. I think it's going to happen.
I can make him forget. He's just leaving me hanging right now. I know he's leaving me on to the last minute. Stop leading me on, you batty.
I'm not going to lie. I think it's going to happen.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Sway. We're in.
There'll be more stories.
We'd actually have more stories to share, but Double left me hanging for like an hour today, and I've actually got to leave in a minute. So,
Short and sweet today. Yeah,
podclarting.
So yeah. Anyway, if you guys listening, if you want any topics, nothing to do with taking a shit. If you want us to talk about any topics, at TalkOverPod on Twitter. It is TalkOverPod. Yeah, at TalkOverPod on Twitter.
Yeah, that's the one.
And then, of course, Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Do us a favor as well. If you have a friend that's a DJ who doesn't listen to the podcast, just send them a link to whatever your favorite podcast is. We're like 58 episodes
deep. Spread the vibes, my guys. Yeah. Spread the vibes.
We want to share the love out a little bit. So just do me one favor, please. Just whatever your favorite episode is, whether you listen to it on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, just send the link to it to one of your DJ friends. See what they think. I think okay. Let's see if we can double the listenership by next week. So, but yeah,
we've actually been sent a couple, but we're not gonna have time to cover them today.
No, but yeah,
a couple dudes at the Red Bull came up and were like, "Yo, man, listen to the podcast. It's dope." So sick. Yeah, the word is spreading.
Yeah, shouts to everybody that listens as well. So yeah, that's it. Hashtag Talkover Podcast, or of course, if you're a real fan, hashtag Podclart. The merchandise is coming soon. Yeah, but yeah.
All right. Until next time.
My G's.
My Jesus Christ.
The end.